Welcome back to Up the Villa podcast, our opposition preview for Aston Villa against Bournemouth. Delighted to be joined by Sam from Back of the Net podcast. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, very good, buddy. Not too bad at all.
Good stuff. So we did sort of like a wild card pick at the start of the season of something that sort of not out there, but like could happen. My wild card was Bournemouth to get in the top 10 this season. And I think you've got a real good shout about doing that. I don't know whether you guys would say that was a wild shout at all, but for me, I felt like a pretty good shout, to be fair. What do you feel about that?
You know what? Firstly, I love that from you. Superb. Thank you very much. And you know what? You went against the grain because a lot of people thought it was so bad us getting rid of Gary O'Neill and getting the new manager in and unheard of and untried in the Premier League. But even after a slow start, he seems to have come good. So glad you stuck with us. And you know what? Yeah, there's a chance. I think Europe's probably passed us by for a club like little old Bournemouth. It's unlikely that we're going to get there anytime soon. I think that's what our owner wants within 5 years or so. Whether it will happen, it'd be amazing if we do. But to get top 10 would be huge for us. So I think that's probably now the target for us.
Yeah, I just saw a video of him in the summer, Raiola, and he was just the way he was talking and the way he was talking about how he wants his team to play. And I just thought, this guy's got something. So how has the season been for you guys?
Yeah, it's been all right. It was a very slow start. I think a lot of players were adjusting to a new style of football, playing under Gary O'Neill. It was very pragmatic football, purposeful at times, and sometimes it got results, as Wolves are finding, in some big games, but then you're maybe not winning the games that you're expected to. But he came in, ripped up the rule book, changed the philosophy, and it was a bit of a hard start for us. The points really didn't come anytime soon. Our first win, I think, was in October, so we weren't particularly great, but Even we were getting draws here and there. So on the equivalent games from the previous season, we were actually up on points, but it just wasn't quite working. And then in October, there was just this kind of eureka moment where it all started to click. And from there, it's been really good. It's been easy on the eye. It's been great to watch. It's been end to end. He calls it chaotic football, but it's been really nice to watch, actually. So yeah, he's had a few sort of tricky patches even between that good spell that started in October and now where we are. But every time he seemed to have found a solution. So we're really happy with him so far.
Yeah, I think when we played you last time, you were kind of in that purple patch and it ended up looking like a real good point for Aston Villa because you were playing so well. So just touching on Iraola then. So how have you found him as a manager and sort of with the fans as well? Because, you know, I think as football fans, you want to feel a connection to your manager. And, you know, you had Gary O'Neill and he left and he's done quite well at Wolves. But I do feel like in the long run, you're going to be better off with Iraola. I do see Gary O'Neill having a bit of a tough season next year. But with you guys, I think you can build on it. So how have you felt, you know, with your new manager?
Yeah, I think a lot of us are feeling very positive under him at the moment. The style of football's been really good and he's been getting some really big results, but we're also getting points in the fixtures from those in and around us, which was probably where we struggled last season. As I say, the, you know, style of football has been good. The fans have warmed to him straight away. There was a danger after sort of not winning in your first 8 or 9 games that some of our supporters may turn a little bit, and there were a few frustrating performances here and there, but I'm glad we stayed patient with him, really, because we're certainly, yeah, we're benefiting and we're seeing the fruits of his labour now. Now, this is a guy that's come in and he's been without his assistant, and in the end, we've lost out on his assistant. I wasn't sure whether it is due to visa reasons or, you know, his coaching badges, but either which way, he's been thrown into a club where he's got a completely new team and everyone loves him. Everyone absolutely adores him. You know, fans have really warmed to him as well. And I sense that we've got a higher ceiling now. Gary O'Neill, don't get me wrong, he did brilliant. He did really well. I don't think it was quite the miracle that the media painted it out to be that we stayed up, given January last year we were given a transfer war chest where he could spend well, and you know, we did sign some big players there. But now I think under Iraola, I think we can sort of look to Europe eventually. with, you know, maybe more than just rolling our eyes like we would have done previously, because we sense we're going somewhere. There is certainly progression. And even in his first season, we've scored more goals. We've conceded fewer goals. We're going to get our highest ever points total in the Premier League. So everything's looking good. And we've got players now that are really starting to perform. The danger of being that kind of club, though, is that, you know, the vultures will start circling. And at some point, there will be bigger clubs that will come in for the likes of Dom Solanke, Milos Kerkez, Ilya Zubani, Lloyd Kelly, the players that have been, you know, getting a lot of media attention. So it's good and bad that we're doing quite well.
Yeah, we use a graphic on Opta to have a look at sort of like different teams' style of play. And Bournemouth are in the fast and direct category. You've got 24 points at home, 18 away from home. So your points tally is quite close, home and away. So that tells me that, you know, you're pretty decent away from home as well. So from a Bournemouth perspective, what's the Bournemouth style of play, if you had to sort of summarise how you play?
Yeah, it's quite a mix up, really. We like to play sort of, you know, very fluid, fast football. You're building up from the back, wing backs, you know, running down the flanks. You're getting down there as much as they can, trying to win the ball back in the you know, first third of the opposition's half. Like turning over the ball as quickly as possible, high press. But every so often we'll mix it up with a long ball through as well. So yeah, it's been really interesting to watch, actually, because we're never bored, because we don't know what style we're going to have. Whereas under previous managers, we always knew it was going to be this kind of methodical style, a little bit boring. Now we mix it up. We've got the players, the personnel that can really deploy that, you know, excellently. So I do think the fixture against Villa is going to be a real end-to-end fixture. Whether we'll have that bit of quality that we need, not too sure. However, I'm certainly looking forward to it. And we're always going into games feeling excited now rather than it being a chore to watch.
Yeah, and you've got a goal machine up top, Solanke. 17 goals now in the Premier League. He's playing really well, isn't he, Solanke? You know, when I've watched him, some of his touches that he's doing in and around the box are fantastic. His goal against Man United was great. You know, when I saw him pick up that ball and it just opened, I thought, he's scoring from here. So, you know, you must be really pleased for Solanke. I think the big thing for Solanke is he sort of wants to get involved in England. And I kind of feel a bit sorry for him, because you've got Ollie Watkins, who's got 19 Premier League goals. And there's even a question of, like, is Watkins going to go, which is just absolutely ridiculous. So talk to me a little bit about Solanke. You know, he's having a real good season, and he looks like that player that Liverpool wanted him to be all those years ago.
Yeah, he's really pivotal to the way we play. His hold up play is good. He's strong. He's athletic. He's pretty quick as well. Plus, he's got an eye for goal. I think previously, when he wasn't really performing for us in the Premier League, I think sometimes he would overthink a little bit. When he had a bit too much time on the ball, when he's sort of one on one with the keeper, he would probably overthink it and do the wrong thing. Now he's just got this instinct about him, and also it's just his spatial awareness now is really good. He's strong in the air too, and like you say, he could be in with a shout for England. I think him and Ollie Watkins are two of the highest English scorers for non-penalty goals. I think Solanke's only scored one this season. Had he scored the other that he actually missed, he would be one behind Ollie Watkins. But he would love to play for England, of course. And you know, there's always the argument that, you know, is it because he's playing for a small club? Maybe, but then, you know, they're looking at players like Ivan Toney, who's been, you know, been out of the game for so long, only scored 4 goals all season. And for some reason, he's in Southgate's thoughts, whereas Dom Solanke's not. I would love him to do well for England. But all he can do is just keep scoring goals for us. I've got a feeling we'll probably lose him at the end of the season, frustratingly. And maybe wherever he goes, he'll get that chance. But all he can do is just keep his head down and keep fighting. And that's what he's doing at the moment. I think he would love to score 20. That'd be huge. He's already our top scorer in the Premier League. For Bournemouth. Previous was Josh King on 16. So he's going in the right direction, and he's certainly been a huge player for us this season.
Yeah, he's absolutely fantastic. So you've got future plans then of a new stadium. So how far away is that from happening?
Yeah, I think at the moment we've got a new training ground that's being developed. If you go to the Vitality Stadium at the moment, where the away fans are, just near to that is our training ground, which is not the biggest and certainly not the best. But our new owners have got plans and ambitions to build a new training ground, which is nearly finished, to be honest. I think they're looking to move in by the end of the year, and it's going to be a complex. It's going to be very nice in the Premier League compared to other, you know, clubs. It'll be better and it'll be on par with, you know, with many other teams. I think in terms of like the geographical footprint, it's the same size as Southampton's, and they've always been known over the years for producing, you know, the up and coming stars, and that's what we hope to do. But it's that ground where the training ground is there, where the new stadium would be built, because at the moment it's a little bit too close to houses to be able to build up. I think two of the stands might be able to, but they need increased hospitality. They need to increase the revenue that we get. And I know that the kind of ticket money is a drop in the ocean compared to the TV money that we get, but really we need to capitalize on, you know, these businesses that want to invest in AFC Bournemouth, want to, you know, pay premium prices for the hospitality experience week after week. And at the moment, we can only cater for a small percentage of that. So we want to move. I think the plan is for a 22,500 seat stadium, albeit starting 18,500, just to see where we are. And that hopefully will get going in the next couple of years or so. But the training ground's got to move first, and then the stadium, because you know what? It is frustrating because so many people in the media, so many fans, it's the first thing they think of. Small stadium, AFC Bournemouth, 11,500 seats. That's embarrassing. And we've had to put up that for so long. But now our new owner's thinking, actually, we want to, you know, make this stadium, you know, worthy of Premier League football. So fingers crossed that'll happen, but it's going to be a couple of years away at least until ground is broken on that. But the training ground is nearly finished. So it's just a step-by-step process for us at the moment.
Yeah, I went to Bournemouth away this season and, you know, I quite liked the stadium. I thought it was good. I thought your atmosphere was good. But the best part about it, actually, like Bournemouth in itself, it's such a nice place. And I'd never been. And we went because it was around like Christmas time. You've got like these lights on in this, I don't know where it was, but you've got these lights and it was just really cool. So I think Bournemouth's a great place, really. So so thoughts on Villa then? What have you made Villa this season?
Superb. I didn't expect you to be doing as well as you were. I thought it was almost going to be a sort of transitional season, albeit you had that last season, but I thought this was going to be, you know, maybe another one. But what Unai Emery's done has been absolutely quality. They've been a real joy to watch. You've got players who are absolutely thriving, like Ollie Watkins. I mean, I think, you know, that last performance against Arsenal just summed up what Villa are, really. I mean, you know, Watkins, you know, Bailey, both great finishes. Carlos was absolutely superb. John McGinn, just a workhorse. And it's, I don't know what it is. It's the intensity that you play at. And it's the fact that when you're going into like 50-50 challenges with Arsenal, it was more like, I don't know, 70-30 or something, 60-40, because it's like you wanted it more. And I think, you know, there is a desire, you know, obviously for, you know, for Champions League football, and like, you'll get it. You will get it, because from what I've seen, you have been really impressive. I wasn't so impressed with you when you came to our place, because I thought that we actually did really win that game and was probably unlucky not to win. But look, you know, every team has their off day. And for you, like you say, a point at that point in time against a Cherry side that's resurgent, you know, could be regarded in hindsight as a good point. But since then, I've just seen you not tail off like I thought you would. And yeah, I'm delighted to see it, because the fans really do deserve it. It's been a long time coming. So yeah, intrigued to see how you do in the Champions League, because you will get there.
Yeah, I mean, if I weren't a Villa fan, I think I'd be like, yeah, go for it, Villa. Because, you know, even this sort of like Solanke England, like, it proper deserves to go. But, you know, the media don't hype Solanke up. They're not really fussed about Watkins. And, you know, even before that game against Arsenal, like Merson, he's a former Arsenal and Villa player. And he was sort of saying, like, Villa have got no chance. And it was just like, come on, mate. God, give us a bit of credit. And, you know, we didn't get it. And, you know, touching on the game that we played against you guys, you know, you were banging form. And Semenyo was really good at that period of time, and he really did cause us a lot of problems. So just before we get into sort of like the Villa and Bournemouth game, then what's your injury sort of looking like? Is Semenyo still going to be out, or?
Yeah, looks like it. Semenyo's probably not going to be back, which is a real shame for us because he's such a threat on that right-hand side. He's direct running, he's quick, he's strong, and he can cause teams a nuisance just by being so direct on the ball. And, you know, he can score with his left or his right. So if you're a fullback and he's up against you, you just don't know which way he's going to go. So that is one of his strengths. Tavernier on the other side looks likely to be out as well. And we've got some other sort of long-term injuries as well, such as, you know, Tyler Adams, our centre midfielder. We've got a few defenders out as well. It is frustrating at the moment because, you know, there was a time where we were kind of looking at Europe and thinking, you know, could we? Probably didn't think it, but, if we had the players that we could have had available, there might have been a chance. But yeah, we're sort of running at sort of 65-70% really in terms of the players we've got available. I think a lot of that's also been down to some kind of bug that's been running through the camp recently. I don't know whether it's been, you know, a cold or flu or whatever, but, you know, players are playing. Solanke did play despite being under the weather against Manchester United. And look, if he plays like that and, we put in a decent performance against one of the so-called big six, then happy days. But at the moment there are a few injuries, so which means we're certainly not picking our full strength team.
Yeah, I don't know how Man United seem to get away with playing like that every week and picking up points, because you were fantastic against them, and I've no idea how you didn't win that game. So back on to Villa Bournemouth then. How do you see the game going?
You can ask me for a prediction, I'm sure, later, so I'll hold that back for now. But it's going to be entertaining. It's going to be, I think this is one that's going to be fun to watch. Probably more fun for the Villa fans because we'll have a go. But in some ways, that's what you want. You don't really want to be playing a team that's going to be parking the bus and backs to the wall. So we're probably going to, you know, have a performance that plays into your hands a little bit, but in the same breath, the same could be said for us, which makes me think, okay, so it's going to be down to the player's individual technical quality, which I think you supersede us with that. So yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, very much end to end. I would like to think that, you know, we'll score at some point in time, but I do feel as though the quality and the home atmosphere and everything that you're playing for will probably mean that it might go in the favour of the home side. Because at the moment, are we on the beach? Well, our performance against Manchester United suggests we're not. And we have got our individual targets, I'm sure, because every place in the Premier League is worth like, you know, 2.5 million. And that's massive. Huge for a club like us. So, you know, I think Iriola will, you know, certainly keep the momentum high within the squad. But I think it's all going to come down to the technical quality of individuals, of which I think you're probably slightly better.
So what would your score prediction be?
Why'd you do this to me? I had to. Heart is a draw, and I'd be more than content with a draw, but my head probably says Villa will win 2-1, 3-1.
I think we'll end it on that one then. Cool. Right. It's been great having you on, Sam. And I'll put your channel in the description and on the title of this video as well. But, you know, I think you've had a great season, and I can see good things coming from Bournemouth in the future. So hopefully we'll be chatting next season then.
Yeah, I expect we will, at which case you're going to be like traveling to places like, you know, PSG on a Wednesday night. Now, you know what, it's going to be exciting. And, you know, for all Villa fans, just embrace what is happening at the moment, because, you know, like, as a neutral, you know, I'm watching, like, you know, really enviously, and it's like almost a, you know, vicarious happiness that I can sort of see your Villa fans. I see your channel, I see other Villa channels, and everyone is just so happy, you know, with the way things are. So just embrace it and enjoy this, because times don't really get much better than this, but they might next season for you guys.
Thank you, mate. Cheers for coming on.
Cheers.